Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron, and you can get in here. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We're going to have Josh Norris joining us at 9 o'clock today. He had some interesting tweets about the Deshaun situation and where Deshaun, well, the Miami and Deshaun situation, and now what it means. Interesting stuff going on. Brian Flores already a candidate for the Bears, allegedly. Harbaugh, we know about the Bears. Sean Payton's name is popping up for the Bears job.
I'll tell you what. If you look at the Saints, I don't think that's a great job right now. No. We forget about mega diva wide receiver who I don't think is going to be there long term.
Michael Thomas.
People forgot about that. He intentionally basically jacked the Saints so he wouldn't have to play this year. That's a bad sign. Been there, done that. And so...
We've been having those.
Yeah, I mean, so sleeping bag participant Michael Thomas basically is a guy who's a problem over there with New Orleans. Didn't even play this year. You don't have a quarterback. You need a quarterback. You have a good defense, and here's what you have. You have a running back on a second contract, which works out about 0% of the time.
But this one is working out.
One year.
Well, yeah,
and it wasn't even his contract year yet. I think this is his fifth year.
I'll take Alvin Kamara.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Yeah. We'll see how it holds up over time.
That dude is a difference maker.
No, he is. I think all of them. I think Christian McCaffrey is too. We'll see if Alvin Kamara can A, stay healthy, and B, if he continues to be at that price. Because if not, then he's just another super expensive guy on a team that can't get to the playoffs. It's not the greatest situation. Now, it's hard to look at the Bears and say, yeah, but that is. It's just a different situation. That's all. And he might, at this point of his career, Sean Payton might say, you know what? I want to work with a young quarterback. I've got some pieces in place. I just want to go do it somewhere else. It wouldn't be a shock. He's been there a long time.
No question. I agree.
Isn't popping up randomly. Let me just put it that way.
No, if I was him, you would absolutely be looking around.
Plus, I've lived in New Orleans. Not the greatest.
That's true too. So
it's a great place to visit.
Yeah, but in the offseason, you're probably not there that much other than, you know, you go back for camp and everything else. But Sean Payton, he can go wherever he wants right now. Let me ask you this. So Joe Judge gets fired yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know. This David Culley thing right now, I'm hearing all kinds of people. Oh, man, the outrage that people are experiencing because the Texans haven't either A, fired him, or B, not fired him, have done absolutely nothing is how unprofessional they are. And I forgot that rule. Is this an NFL rule that you have to tell a head coach on Black Monday that he's fired or not fired? I didn't know. I missed that NFL rule.
Yeah. Is there more and more? I mean, well, I know the afternoon show. Is there more people?
All through the city, all different shows. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people are upset about this whole Texan situation. I don't know.
I don't think we give the Texans a lot of easy free passes here on this show.
Yeah.
That's one that I think this is kind of ridiculous. What's the, the Texans can wait and sniff around.
They're losing out on all the best. I've heard this. You're losing out on all the best prospects. You mean the ones that aren't in the playoffs? Those best prospects? Or is it Brian Flores that you really have to have? I mean, if you have to have Brian Flores, then fire David Culley today and go get Brian Flores.
Your job is not appealing to Brian. Your job, all right, it's time. Okay, I could sense what you were doing, so go ahead and do it.
Okay, rank the jobs right now.
All right.
And include the Texans in it.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay it out. So we got Chicago.
We got the Giants.
We'll say Houston. It's not open.
Yeah, right.
Houston, New York Giants, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Denver.
Miami.
and Miami. And Jacksonville.
And Jacksonville's open, too.
So,
oh, yeah, Las Vegas, too.
Oh, yeah, good one, Aaron. Wow, there's more open than I realized.
Yeah.
So we got 1, 2, 3, because you forget about Jacksonville and Las Vegas.
Yeah, because they were.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's 7 open. We'll throw Houston in 8. The top job to me, I would say, just based on team, is going to be,
you got to remember salary cap and all of that, how much room they're going to have and everything else, too.
I would say the top job for me would probably be either, I think it's Miami.
Even after what just happened with their head coach.
Well, I mean, if you're a head coach stepping in, well, their head coach had a fundamental difference of opinion about the quarterback. So,
right.
If you want the job,
there was a report that they had a shouting match. Tua had a shouting match.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the job, you probably like Tua. So, I think Miami's in pretty good position. Don't they still have like 14 of Houston's picks?
They've got a ton of cap space, $72 million.
Yeah, so I think Miami is the clear number one. I feel like, remember, Danielle Hunter is coming back. I feel like Minnesota should probably be up in the mix, but I'm going to say Las Vegas number two, even though there is a lot of, I mean, it is a playoff team.
They've got $39 million in cap space as well. Minnesota's is in
probably
cap
maxed.
Hell.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep them out of it for now. I think number three would be, number three I would probably make Chicago. Four, I would make Jacksonville. But I actually think Jacksonville does have some pieces. Five, probably Minnesota. Six would be Denver.
Really?
I might flip those around.
Yeah, you should, because Denver has $43 million in cap space.
Yeah, I get that, but there's dudes on Minnesota's team.
There's dudes on Denver's team too. They had a great defense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I'll do that. But they don't have a quarterback. That's my problem.
I would rank them higher.
Okay, I'm going to go 5 Denver. I'm going to go 6. And actually, Denver might be higher than Chicago, honestly. But I'll go 5 Denver, 6 Minnesota. I would say Houston would be 7, and then the Giants are the last, because they don't have a quarterback. They've got Saquon Barkley still, who's always injured. And then, frankly, let's just be honest. I mean, you need to rebuild. You have no general manager, which is a good thing. Gettleman had to go. He retired. But that's a tough, tough media, too. It makes it harder for a head coach.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, though. The way it looks with the Giants, there was so much backlash about Brian Flores getting fired and Joe Judge still had a job. The Maras, while Dave Gettleman is stepping away and allegedly has a say in who the next general manager is going to be, they bowed to the pressure of the after 2 years of Joe Judge. Now, they saw Joe Judge, and Joe Judge was bad.
Oh, players had issues. Remember players were, like, retiring in the middle of the year?
Like 5 or 6 guys retired from football.
He's a hard, hard coaching guy. It sounds a lot like Josh McDaniel's first stint with Denver. There's a lot of similarities where Josh has gone pretty quick, too.
Yeah.
Trying to, like, this is the way we do things. It's a Patriot way.
Yeah.
Like, well, no one cares about that. That's a losing coaching tree.
Right.
That's a coaching tree that bears no
fruit.
Well,
not only that, but we suck. We're terrible. But the optics of the way that they got rid of Joe Judge is terrible to me, because it just seems like they just bowed. There was no talk about, and listen, Black Monday is the day. If you don't do it, then guess what? Then you're unprofessional.
If they waited, like we just talked about, how shouldn't a team have time to assess if they want to?
Well, yeah.
Well,
apparently Mara talked to some coaching GM candidates or whatever and said, I want to hire the head coach.
Yeah,
listen,
that's
you'd
probably
still have that opportunity, though, after 1 year. I mean, you might have to work with Joe Judge 1 year, but you go, beat.
Well, Ballard did that with Chuck Pagano.
Yeah.
Remember, he did that with Pagano. But, however, I understand the idea of, you talk to some candidates, they say, no, I want to move in a different direction, and you just say, okay, we're getting rid of him. I get that, too. It's not like there weren't issues with Joe Judge in New York.
No,
they had some issues. So I don't know if Twitter fired him, but I do feel
it feels like it.
Did Twitter give him his pink slip?
It really does feel
like it to you. I don't think that's reality. I think you hit it. I think the reality is the GM, they talked to a few GMs and potential candidates. Said, would you be okay working with Joe Judge? No.
Yeah.
No, he's not well-liked in that building and blah, blah. Something like that probably happened. So That's my guess what happened. Where would you? Who would you have as the last place job?
The Giants might be.
I think so, too. It's just they got it. Their infrastructure's bad. They've got a bad city to try to win in because it's really hard with the media there. Would you say Texans next to last, or did you have someone else? Because they don't have any solution yet. Now, it might be sweeter if Deshaun Watson gets traded, but the scary thing is I was expecting him to be suspended at some point this year and to eat up those suspension days this year. He missed this year, and there's suspension days still looming.
I think the Vikings might be the second to worst job.
You think?
Yep.
Even with Mr. Gritty?
They're $13 million over the cap heading into it. So, and that's with the 51 players. They're $13 million. I don't think you have your quarterback situation resolved. You obviously don't have your quarterback in the future.
In the cap coming up?
The cap year begins. I mean, the Saints right now, $68 million over the cap.
Yeah, but I think, but when does the cap officially
the cap
move
year
up?
Starts? What is the new year
it's
start?
Summer,
March,
June 1st.
March 16th. The new
free
new
agency starts
year.
March 16th.
Yeah,
but it's a new cap year too.
Yeah,
because remember how you can do the split in the summer.
Yeah, but that's not it's not all the way to the summer. No, it's in March, I believe. Okay. Anyway, whatever the case may be, you're in cap hell. You are in cap hell. And Minnesota's in cap hell. The Giants are 2.6 over the cap. I mean, that's a bad situation for a general manager to walk in and try to what Caserio did was just everybody out. Listen, 60% of the team gone, 70% of the team gone. But in 2 years, he will have turned over this entire roster when he gets rid of all of Bill O'Brien's stink. He gets all Bill O'Brien's stink off of this organization, and that's great. Because you can, bad football teams, you can make your mark as a general manager. When you have no cap space, when you have, because that's dead cap money that's going to be applied to your roster, how are you going to turn that thing around? I mean,
Barr,
sad situation.
They'll get rid of Anthony Barr. I'm looking here. And, I mean, they can restructure. I think Minnesota, I would be less worried about, now $68 million is a lot.
Not only that, but you don't have a quarterback situation resolved. In Minnesota.
Nah, don't you?
No.
You have Kirk.
Yeah.
Well, it's Kirk Cousins produces at a higher
rate. That's a short-term deal. You better draft. Well, and this year you might be able to get that guy because where the Vikings are going to be drafting,
they're fine.
A Pickett might be there.
No, they got Mond. They're fine. You forgot. Yeah. They spent a second rounder.
That Zimmer wouldn't even disgusted to look at.
With the new coach, we'll see what happens.
Oh, really?
But I didn't think Kellen Mond is an NFL starter, so I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Kirk Cousins, he's got one more year left. It's a $35 million.
How's that? How's that look for a new coach coming up?
God, Kirk Cousins has gamed the system and beaten everyone. When you look back on the history of pro football, you will look at Kirk Cousins as one of the greatest minds of understanding the cap.
Better.
Nobody's made more. He understood that franchise tag is your friend.
Better him, Tunsil, or Clowney.
Kirk Cousins. He had two franchise tags when he wasn't a franchise player. And then he got his contract fully guaranteed in Minnesota. Yeah. The first that I ever recall fully guaranteed contract. How Kirk Cousins had the leverage to punk people that way is beyond me. He's going to make $35 million next year. Now, his numbers, like I said, his numbers are – what do you think his touchdowns interception were this year? Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins.
25 to 17.
33-7.
Oh, really good.
Kirk Cousins' numbers are way – people just have an idea of Cousins.
Well, guess what, though? He doesn't win.
4,200.
Where are the Vikings in the playoffs?
Right. 8-8, 7-9, 10-5, 8-7, 7-9, 8-7, 9-7. These are his records.
Right.
These are his records.
With those numbers.
I mean, and then you look at this. The year before that, 35-13. The year before that, 26-6, 30-10. If Deshaun Watson had these numbers, we would talk about – Deshaun might be now a tier one quarterback. If I just read those numbers to you with Deshaun Watson, because you have a different vibe on Deshaun. But, the stats, the stats can lie. The record doesn't
win.
In big moments, in big games, he doesn't.
He doesn't win.
Yeah, you're right.
713-780.
But that's why they're in a hell. You want to get rid of a 33 touchdown, 7 interception guy for Kellen Mond? Not me.
Uh-uh. When we come back, we have some other thoughts about this job.
Which one?
Cabino was on, and he had some thoughts about where the Texans rank. And so we will hear from that. We'll hear from that and the college football playoff and what's going on. Right now, though, you got Craig DeSerf to talk about.
I got Craig DeSerf, and I'm going to tell you about what Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC has going on for you right now. And I always talk about this because this is with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You got a lot of different opportunities for you. Right now, one of the opportunities is 0% financing on the Chevy Silverado 1500 LTD truck. And the Chevy vehicles are really, really great. I love my Traverse. My wife loves her Traverse. We should have gotten more miles because on the lease, we did a lease for my wife, I think, 32 months? Because she drives it so much, drives my daughter around, and just loves it. We've had no issues with it. And the Traverse, the Chevy Silverado pickup truck, and, of course, all the different full-size, the Chevy Suburban, which has been one of the iconic SUVs out there for decades. So much to choose from with Chevy, even smaller crossover vehicles as well. You'll find the vehicle you want. You'll get great trade-in value. It's all happening out in Angleton where the customer service index champs year after year after year reside. Make sure that you see Craig and his staff. Go to LanceZCars.com to start the car buying experience right now and check out all the inventory they have in stock.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Look at the state of the Texans that they're in right now. They're about to go into another offseason overhaul with the roster. 33 players had expired contracts. Most of them will be gone. And the roster's going to get younger. They're going to add more draft picks. And when the season begins, they're not going to be viewed as a playoff contender. I know the Bengals made this huge jump in 1 year to another, but that's pretty remarkable for what they were able to do. So in that situation, you're like, all right, if I'm a head coach and I'm looking at these jobs, you know, the ones that are available here, the Bears, Broncos, Jaguars, Dolphins, Giants, Texans, if that's the case, which one has all of the things that a top candidate want to go and jump into?
That was Brooks Cabina. From the Houston Chronicle, on with which Wheelhouse? He was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday, talking about this situation. Here's what he tweeted 16 hours ago, Lance. And this, I mean, now this may be a lot more attractive to a possible head coach if the Texans are going to fire Coach Culley. Here's who the Texans have re-signed. Running back Darius Anderson, wide receiver Jalen Camp, defensive line Michael Dwumfor, offensive lineman Jake Ellenkamp, DB TJ Green, D lineman Damone Harris, wide receiver Damon Hazelton, fullback Paul Quessenberry, offensive line Jordan Steckler, linebacker Connor Strachan, linebacker Josh Watson, and offensive lineman Sam Cooper. So if I'm a possible head coach.
Well, those are guys from like.
From the USFL?
Basically from 50 to 60. Well, former PFAs. Like I 60 like
60 to 80.
Jalen Camp? I like Jalen Camp. I think Jalen Camp's a developmental guy. He's a big, athletic, explosive guy from Georgia Tech. I like Hazelton, but Hazelton's been one of those guys up, down, up, down. You may remember him. He's been a guy that's been up and down.
If they go into the year those are with just, Camp and Hazelton those are, on the – on the, well, no, no, on but, the 53,
but those are
going to rank the Texans wide receivers well, I mean, as the worst in football.
You could have said that about A.J. Bouye one time.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like you want one of these two or two of these guys. That's not – it is a funny joke. I'm not saying it's not. Maybe I should just play it for the humor angle. But I know most of those guys because I wrote them up.
Does that not entice, though, a head coaching
Well, yeah, if you hear that those guys are back, you say, okay, now we got building blocks at 60 through 65 on the roster.
Where is that?
But, Coach, you only have a 53-man roster. Well, the practice squad looks good.
No. Are you getting ready for the season?
Who's our quarterback? Davis Mills. Like, oh, you mean the guy who's the second best? That's we're hanging everything on. Hey,
second best.
He may not have been great, but he's the second best quarterback out of the rookie class.
How about the best on throws 20 plus yards this year in the NFL?
Whatever it takes.
Not among the rookies in the NFL. Period. The best.
Then how did they not score
throws?
How did they get? How did they have such bad games offensively?
At this, because he didn't do it all that often.
Stats lie.
But his
we're willing to buy into all that. But like Kirk Cousins sucks. 33-7. My nuts. Like what?
Well,
as you've seen his 20-plus yard passing rating by PFF. I was just looking at another touchdown by Justin Jefferson. Did you see the pass that he made to Damon Hazelton and Jalen Camp? Did you see those throws?
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. There's a good argument for Mills right there.
Yeah.
He's throwing to Damon Hazelton and Jalen Camp
draft
as opposed
better.
To Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen.
Well, Thielen's been hurt for a little bit, but point made.
He came back.
Hey, they kind of have Dalvin Cook sometime. Oh, by the way, another second contract running back.
I'm hurt.
Oh, really? I'm looking at a Leonard Fournette this year.
Yeah, not
second contract.
Leonard Fournette, not with the team that drafted him.
No, but still.
That's just it. And he didn't get big money.
It doesn't matter.
When I say second contract, it's with the same team that drafted you where they now are overpaying.
You're such a
it
negative.
It never works out.
Michael is here, wants to talk about the head coaching vacancies. What do you say, Michael?
Lance, you have to remind me about all those rookie quarterbacks that were outstanding in their first year because I'm having a hard time remembering a few of them. But
Justin Herbert, but we've made this point before. The season that Davis Mills had, especially from touchdown interception ratio, is a huge green light. Well, not green flag. It's a very, very enticing marker because most rookie quarterbacks have really bad touchdown interceptions. For Davis Mills to have 16-10 with this level of play and no running game is really impressive. Like it really is in real life.
Right. I agree with you. I think it's important that you point out that he has no receivers and no running backs. And really the team is not built to win this year.
It's not optimal.
Built on 1 and 2 year contracts that are kind of meant to be a competitive team to bring out the depth over the next couple of years, but not a playoff contention team. So it does bode well for Mills. And with regards to the coaching job vacancy, what about the team that has potentially, let's say, 4 to 6 first-round picks in the next 2 years?
Yeah, that's
a few second-round picks. $100 million in cap space, and the second-best rookie quarterback in football. What about that team? That team is the Texans, obviously. So I'm not so sure that the Texans rank 6th or 7th in job vacancies. I mean, I think if you really break it down and look at what you're going to get for Deshaun and then look at how many of those picks you can trade back for more picks, you're going to have a slew of first and second-round picks over the next couple of years, plus $100 million to build out.
Here's things you're not factoring in, Michael.
Well, it's their cap space is right now 39, not 100, but their cap space is 39. So,
that's still
decent cap
space. Here's things that head coaches will also factor in. You have a general manager that is, you got to be okay with that general manager. Number two, you have weak ownership. You know that going in. But the third thing is, you know, we keep saying this. You're saying it now. John and I have said it too. The Deshaun Watson trade value that we assume is coming is all based and predicated upon a clean exit from these 22. And I'm not saying I don't think there's going to be criminal charges. But what I do think is, or what I am concerned about is, when is this suspension going to take place? Because whoever trades for him is going to use that as leverage against you. Like, hey, we're not even going to have Deshaun for this amount of time. That's a problem for us. Is Deshaun going to try to get a new contract from his new team because he wants to make up for the money from his lawsuit? That was one of the rumors that was out there about one of the stumbling blocks that could take place with a new trade. And what that's going to do is lower your value. If Deshaun goes looking for a new contract because he wants to make up the money that would potentially come from his, you know, paying off lawyers and paying off settlements, well, that's no good, because what that means is the other team is going to say, okay, we're going to have to give him a new contract. We're not giving you the same value that you're looking for. And if you don't have multiple teams in the race for Deshaun Watson, it also hurts your leverage.
Well,
you've got to have Deshaun open up. He's got to open it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
but I love the idea of what you could have with all these draft picks, but you also must draft effectively, too, in the first and second rounds.
Nick Caserio, we're going to find out whether how attractive this job is. And listen, I got to give him big ups for a draft where he had no first and no second, and he found guys that could actually get on the field in Brevin Jordan and Lopez, and even Wallow in his special teams, and Davis Mills. I mean, he did. I thought that was an excellent draft, that you got guys who can get on the field and actually contribute when you had no first or second rounder. So he, you know, even you know with the trades and everything else and all the stuff that he did, at least he was finding some players that could actually play. Now, you are so underestimating what you can get for Deshaun Watson. When we come back, the Texans are going to get five firsts.
What?
Yeah, five firsts.
Is Trader Jeff on the line?
Nope, it's not Trader Jeff. It's Turbulent Judge 1000, who is an NFL, apparently an NFL expert. I'm a clown.
But you also don't know for 100% fact that... you also don't know for 100% fact that that's not Trader Jeff on Reddit.
You don't know that. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You're right. But it's laughable. You know what? Apparently, I'm not a very good person. But we will
figure this. It appears as though that's Dell on Reddit.
It could be Dell. No, absolutely.
It's Aaron. It's me.
Could be
it's
David Reheal. Gow. I don't
it
know.
Could be David Gow.
I don't know.
It it's
could be
somebody,
my wife.
It's somebody who works here. It could be your wife.
Could be my
it's
wife.
Definitely somebody who works
we
here.
We don't know.
Maybe it's Jack.
Maybe it's could maybe be. Easterby.
Could be Jack.
Yep. It could be Jack. He thinks I'm devil-like.
Did he use a swear word?
No, but we'll figure it out on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk about Chastain Ford. And my people at Chastain Ford, and what you're doing right now. And because the car business is so weird, it's weirder than it's ever been right now with the pandemic and computer chips and everything else, and they don't have the cars on the lot that they used to have, and those days might be gone forever. And you know what? It's not such a bad thing. So you have to wait maybe, I don't know, 5-6 weeks for your car. Oh, well, do a little planning in advance. I'm going to need a new car. I want to get out of this one. I don't like the payments I'm in on this one, or this car is losing its value. And right now is a great time to sell to, you know, wherever you're going to sell it. But here's the deal, is you get to pick your car exactly how you want it. And I'm going to go with a dealership that is going to make sure that I just get what I want, not what they want to give me, not upsell me with the bed liner or the sunroof or the leather seats or whatever. I get the car or truck exactly as I want it. And that's what they do every single time at Chastain Ford. And then they work that deal so that you're and your payments are exactly where you have to be. That's one of the first questions they ask. I loved my experience with them. You're going to be part of the Chastain family as well. Just go to ChastainFord.com. You can do it all online. You don't have to go anywhere. Or you can get to the dealership and see the great people who you will love, all at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back, 7:33, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So there's a thread on Reddit by Turbulent Judge 1000. I just heard on 97.5 FM trade scenarios for Watson. They're wanting only a first and CMC, or possibly a first, a second, and CMC, which is Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is a negative asset at this point. This is so laughably low for a desperate coach and GM. I can't take the local Houston media seriously if they have these awful proposals. Watson's value is five firsts based on what, I guess he's Jamal Adams, went for. I understand his baggage, but he's still a 26-year-old top five QB, which is the most important position on the field. His baggage will go away once he settles like it did with Big Ben. Okay. The minimum that should be considered is a top 10 pick, another first, and a quality starter either on the defensive or offensive line. I personally wouldn't take less than three firsts, with one being a top 10 pick, given what future bust Trey Lance went for. A sure thing is for more valuable is far more valuable than a QB on a rookie contract player with potential. All right, first of all, you're just automatically dismissing five firsts. That might be Trader Jeff. Because Trader Jeff said seven, right? He had seven picks?
Well, when you know, when you traded this guy and then this guy, you traded Deshaun for this guy, and then you flipped that guy for two more firsts.
Right.
You know, what he was doing is you trade Deshaun for Tua, and then you flip Tua for two more firsts, so now you get seven firsts. Listen, you can't just make these are not, you can't comp him to Jamal Adams, who people are looking at, that was a
Jamal
bad trade.
Jamal Adams is a...
The Jamal Adams is irrelevant. And B, you can't just not factor in. You can't just say, oh, by the way, yeah, I know about the lawsuits, but it makes it tougher to come up with the... Now, I have what I believe to be his value. I do believe that his value is going to be a minimum of two firsts, a player, and some more picks
I
beyond
think two
that.
Firsts and 2 seconds.
It could be that and a player. It could be that. Right now, your problem is, I think at one point, 3 firsts was very reasonable. But now you missed the season. So the season's now off the contract. And he still hasn't been suspended. So you're still, he's going to miss more time.
Yeah.
Whoever trades for him is going to, how long is he going to be out? 4 games? 6 games? A year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think the league wants him to miss football for 2 years, but he made a personal choice and got paid to sit out. That was his personal decision.
And his deal starts at 35 next year. I mean, so, no, he definitely has value. Now, let's not forget, though, that, yeah, I don't know, 22. First of all, it's not a Ben Roethlisberger situation. He had one woman in a bathroom, had to solve that,
yeah, this
get
bit,
through that.
That's in 2006 or whatever. Quit talking about Ben Roethlisberger's irrelevant right now. The league has gone through a lot of changes.
22.
Society is 22. Going to hold Deshaun accountable.
Plus, Ben didn't have a $35 million a year contract that you're going to have to pay. Plus, he didn't have to be traded. There was no... And Ben had served his suspension, went through it, and Deshaun is going to have to serve his as well. I mean, that if you don't think that hurts our trade value... First of all, Denver is going to be sold, right? Denver is going to get sold this week. We're assuming that if Brian Flores would go to Denver, that you know, David Mulugeta is the same agent as Deshaun Watson, and you know what, that maybe there's a package deal in there somewhere. You have to assume that owner is going to want to take on a guy that has all of these sexual allegations against him. If you don't think that hurts his trade value, then you can't be more mistaken. There are teams that are just, no, I do not want that guy as the face of my franchise, and I think the Texans are one of them. And so they hurt themselves in that, you know, they're getting rid of him. So they've got to get rid of him. They don't want that contract. They don't want this hanging over their head anymore. They want to get rid of Deshaun Watson. I'm going to pay less. Five firsts? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not feasible.
No, that's...
We shouldn't even spend time. It's impossible to get that.
Right. But, however, I am not a good person.
Well, can we... So, they went on, one of them went on to talk about our discussion about Christian McCaffrey and the value and how much, and I don't think you were even that much in disagreement when I laid it out about Christian McCaffrey. You should... Christian, if you take on Christian McCaffrey in any trade, and we were doing Panthers, for example, because I do think Panthers is a very real possibility.
And I do think the Panthers want to get out of Christian McCaffrey.
No, there's no question they would want to, because he can't stay healthy. But my whole point was, that's not really a piece that has a lot of value, because he's super expensive, he's always hurt. And if you're a really good team, he has value you'd be willing to gamble on over the next 2 years, but you're not a good team. So he's not as valuable. And I made a point about, it's like being a 70-win team with an expensive closer. Like, there's just no real value in it. So we had that. Here is, we've got a reenactment. Siri is helping us reenact one of the paragraphs from one of the commenters on Reddit. And let's hear what, in Siri's voice, let's hear what this commenter has to say about this whole concept.
Granato is a lord who trolls and plays devil's advocate all the time, but Zierlein knows front office politics better than most. I get the spirit of the post, but that's not the way they were framing the discussion. There are a bunch of unbelievably media takes in the city. This wasn't one of them.
Oh, we got. I don't want that. I want to be a.
Which one?
I'm a bleep lord. Well,
that is that. She
no,
did
I know
call
they said
that
at the beginning, but then they said this wasn't an unbelievably bad take, and I don't want that. I want to be.
Well, no, people can
be
say
a
bad
bleep lord.
Well, just Google Granado troll or bleep lord, and you'll find a lot of posts. And then we'll let Siri read it. Do you like that? I like it when she's reading.
I do like the reenactment.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I just don't like any positivity in it.
Listen.
I just.
One of y'all tweet us. You can tweet us something really horrific.
Yeah.
Or just anything, and we will take it. We'll have Aaron make sure you tag us. Make sure you tag at Aaron is Blitzed. You can just send it to him if you want. And Aaron will spend the day, and you can just take anonymous shots at us, or they can be compliments. Mm-hmm. We're the best in the Kings and all that stuff. But Aaron will take it, and then we'll see what it sounds like when it's filtered through, frankly, a woman's voice that sounds like she's a bit of a smoker.
She does sound like she...
little gruff.
She loves that.
She sounds a little gruff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you're going to do. I don't think I want you to tell me to boss me around.
Dan Wetzel was on yesterday, too, right? He was on with the Killer Bees yesterday. That's a good get. And oh, by the way, there is some college football playoff news, and it should not be surprising. Who's effing this thing up? Who's bleeping the whole thing up? It just is amazing that this thing isn't getting done. I know that you're fine with where we are.
No, I think there needs to be changes, but I also am kind of realistic. I don't think it needs massive overhauls. We've already opened up these. We've already tried to just fling the doors open, and I don't think good things have happened from it. I think you go at a reasonable rate and a reasonable pace. I do think you need to move forward. And here's where I have made some changes where I've thought about this. The biggest problem facing college football right now is that they're postseason. I know that the kids like it and all that, but for fans, they don't really care about anything but the playoff games. The bowl games, especially when the top players are all leaving and opting out of games, you can watch it. You can gamble on it. You can have some fun watching a high-scoring game between two teams that have their top players out. But the fact is, the important games, they don't have the same level of importance. January Day...
They never did, though.
January Day Bowl, they used to. The January Day Bowls used to... The Rose Bowl used to really matter.
It did, though.
It mattered to conferences.
It did matter.
I think it matters.
Sure. I thought it was a great game, and it was...
I think it matters less and less.
It was full. It was... Both fan bases really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the game. It was a great game.
That's great. I think the general fan cares about who's the champs. Because all I hear complaints about are, I'm tired of the same old teams. One thing that would be beneficial, I don't think it would change anything.
It's not going to change anything.
But I do think if you have
Same old teams are going to be
if
there.
If you have eight teams,
it is more now.
But if you have eight teams involved, it does keep potentially more of the best players playing instead of opting out.
Okay, we'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, though.
But it has to start earlier, by the way.
Is there anyone more appropriate to speak for a foot and ankle guy than Lance Erline? I think not.
No, and the thing that makes me so appropriate is that I have gone through the pain of plantar fasciitis. I had
walking pain.
I had an issue with a low grade Lisfranc on the foot. I had a grade 2 sprain, high ankle sprain, which is pretty. It was actually really, really serious. Needed a cast. And if you have foot or ankle pain, you've got to get a doctor who you can trust. And this doctor that you can trust is Dr. Latif. Dr. Latif Nuruddin does a great job. He's a former college athlete. He played football at Baylor. He understands how to get you back on your feet and really active again. Running and sports injuries, heel pain, bunions, hammer toes, plantar fasciitis, which is a major issue for many, many people, and you don't even know it. Your shoe and your footwear, diabetic foot care. Like I said, the high ankle sprains, if you don't get it taken care of, it can heal the wrong way. And before you know it, you're dealing with arthritis that can be a lifelong problem. So make sure that Dr. Latif checks it out. You can go to Bayou City Foot and Ankle and set up an appointment with him. Here's the phone number, 281-500-8891 to schedule an appointment. That's 281-500-8891. It's who I trust with my foot and ankle care. I promise you, you should do the same. Dr. Latif at Bayou City Foot and Ankle.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio,
the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. I think ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, Mr. Yeah makes a good point. What about the Giants' picks 5 and 7 in their second this year and first next year? Now, draft picks are important, but you know what? You still got – I mean, I just don't like the organization, quite frankly. I think it's that organization is a bigger dumpster fire than the Texans maybe. It's a really, really, really bad organization right now. And maybe Dave Gettleman out of there will help, but we'll see. But you got to see who that general manager is going to be as well. Anyway, right now, let's talk about the college football playoff. Dan Wetzel was on yesterday with the Killer Bees. And Wetzel was talking about, here's what he had to say about the college football playoff and how it's going to go.
The Big Ten is hung up on, instead of the top 6 conference champions all getting automatic bids, you assure 5 conference champs, the Power 5 teams all get one, and then one for the other. The Pac-12 is fighting to make sure the Rose Bowl keeps a time slot. The ACC is trying to hold the thing at 8 so they can try to force Notre Dame to make join their conference full-time so they can renegotiate their terrible television contract. Like, these are all just either nonsensical or very, like, individual concern. There's nobody sitting there anymore going, I'm not so sure if this is good for the sport. And that's, I think, what's so frustrating is, like, I think Greg Sankey of the SEC said, we're like in a 9 overtime game and nobody can convert a 2-point conversion.
You know, and it's funny, it's all selfish. It really is. As opposed to, we got to do what's best going forward for college football. I got to make sure it's only 8 so Notre Dame can't just get in that they'll join our conference.
Well, then be consistent. Also, all the things like, we got to make sure the kids have every opportunity to get everything. We got to make sure that every team has every chance to do this. Like, at some point, I agree with everything he said. Good of the game has gone completely no one is doing things that continue to make college football strong. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of money involved. It doesn't mean that it's a healthy sport right now. I think there's a lot of problems. It starts with the outlandish nature of the coaching salaries and how quickly it escalates with there's no tether to a school and their ability to just have free agency every year. I don't think it's a good thing. It's not, first and foremost, it's not a good thing for the kids because the kids are the ones who, and their families are saying, we're going to tie ourselves to this coaching staff. And so when they're able to up and, you know, at least if you know there's a contract in place, you can make decisions based upon the likelihood that your coach is there. If you have free agency every year for a coach at any particular time, you can never feel good about it.
No. And the coaches all, I mean, it's such BS.
It's all selfish.
The coach tells an athletic director and a president, hey, I've got no security here. I can't recruit because I don't have a long-term contract. Everybody thinks I'm going to be gone. And then he gets a long-term contract and he leaves a year later.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just BS.
Everything in college football right now feels selfish.
Yep.
Everything. And nothing's good for the game.
It's just a huge money grab. Greg McElroy on College Football XM said that Kevin Warren is the one who's holding up the playoff expansion. He's the Big Ten commissioner. He's dug his heels in. Kevin will not budge on having Power 5 conference champs having automatic bids. Everyone else wants the highest-ranked conference champions. If you want to know the truth, I think Kevin Warren is terrible. And I think, you know, the way he handled the pandemic, and, oh, by the way, he was laughed at in the NFL. But whatever. Kevin Warren, I think, is right on this one. If it's not conference champion and it's the highest rank, then it's still just an invitational as opposed to playing your way in. First of all, it won't happen all that much. If you win your conference championship, more than likely. Now, you know, you could have a Pitt coming out of the Coastal or whatever they're in and beating with 3 losses and beating a Clemson. But you know what? If they beat a Clemson and they win the ACC, they should go. They should be in because they won their conference. And that's what happens. Listen, that's what happens with the college basketball, right? A conference champ goes.
Yeah, but that's a tournament of 64. That's not the final tournament. That's the only difference is, like, if you told me the conference champ goes to the Great Eight or the Elite Eight, that's a little bit different. Winning your way into 64, you know the other team's going to get in too. Well, if they're a good team, in most cases, the good team is going to get in too. If they're not a good team and they don't get in a tournament, that's usually a mid-major where you'll see a team that loses their conference tournament and then don't get into the they're like, well, I'm sorry, you're on the bubble. You don't make it. It was interesting. Dan Wetzel, actually, don't play because it's too long. The sound that was sent to us, right? I think it's a really long clip. Minute 15? All right, I want you to listen to this, though, John, because he talks about it's not just the Big Ten. It's the problem is you're trying to bring all these conferences have their own concerns and considerations. Oh, that was the one you played. Okay, because I came in from the bathroom. That's the problem I have is that if you have every trying to get all these different nations, because they're basically different nations.
Yeah.
You're trying to bring them into one united nation, but they all have their own ideas and concerns and considerations.
It's all selfish.
Yes, you're always going to think about your own conference first, but trying to get everybody on the same page is just really, really difficult because, once again, the genie has been out of the bottle for so long in that regard where it's all about us. The Longhorns, for example, my wife went there, and I think it's a great school.
Why are we talking about college football playoff and the Longhorns?
No. I know they don't make sense together, but I want to point something out. Texas, for example, made a selfish move that was not good for the conference. They did Longhorn Network. And look at the damage that it did long-term to an entire regional conference. It immediately set the Aggies off, which wasn't going to take much. But it helped to break up the Big 12. Nebraska's like, all right, bleep this. We're leaving. So Nebraska-Oklahoma no longer, which had been there for decades as a rivalry. That split up. Just when you're looking out for your own personal interest in college football, which has been going on well before NIL and all that stuff. I want to point that out. It's just not good for the game.
Yeah.
It's bad, but how do you do it now, John, where you say, hey, everybody, let's go to one common goal? Well, the fact is you've got poppers and princes, and the amount of princes are getting smaller and smaller by the day, and the amount of poppers out there who are irrelevant and who lose their coaches and all that stuff, it's getting greater and greater. And just like in society, the middle class is starting to disappear. It's not a robust middle class in college football.
No, it's not.
But it's not in any sport. Like, well, where's the middle class in baseball?
Again, we could go to the FCS, and you could get a 24 team. Now, a lot of the James Madisons and the South Dakota States, and they're all in there every single year. But it's North Dakota State that's coming out with it. Guess what happens with a 12-team playoff in Division I? It's going to be Alabama and Georgia when it comes down
to it. But it's not.
It's going to be Clemson, Ohio State.
Yeah, but it's not because anyone's cheating or anyone's biased.
No.
It's because they got the best players. And they know how to do it. They've cracked the code. They get the players. Now, the reason they're against...
And the best coaches. Coach makes it makes a huge difference.
Recruiting and coaching.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's the combination.
And speaking of which, Dan Wetzel also spoke about Jimbo. And where Jimbo is right now, watching Kirby Smart in his second year, Kirby Smart was in the national championship game. And what was this, his fourth year there? And he wins the national championship?
That's all Kirby's been there? Kirby's been there longer than that, hasn't he?
Has he? Is it 4 or 5 years? Whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
In his second year, he played in the national championship, and now he's won a national championship at the age of 46.
Yeah.
Jimbo's already won a title. But Jimbo was hired here, and Dan Wetzel says now there's a little bit of pressure on him.
Obviously, there's pressure. There's the expectations. I mean, I think after Georgia, you look at what program hasn't won a national title it's longer for Texas A&M, but that should, right? Mm-hmm. And A&M is one of those deals. You go, why hasn't this happened? That was the thing with Georgia the last 40 years. Like, how everyone around you won it. Clemson won it, and Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and Florida State and Florida and even Georgia Tech won one. Like, how does this not happen? Kind of the same thing. I mean, this recruiting class he has coming in is absolutely incredible. And they're going to be freshmen. Now, there's a lot of other good players at Texas A&M. They always recruit pretty well. I don't know if the pressure is now or in another year, but it's certainly there that they've got to stand toe-to-toe with Alabama. Now, they did it on the field this year. That game's now in Tuscaloosa, but there were so many other stumbles across the year that just was that inconsistency. So huge, huge year and a huge few seasons right now of expectations in College Station, because I think you know, I'm not an Aggie, but I'm sure all the Aggies would nod along and you go, we expect to win one every once in a while, like a Clemson does too, or an LSU does too.
Yeah, and I don't hear anybody giving him a pass because Haynes King went down. Now, it's up to him to find quarterbacks. He had two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. He was going to have to go to that red shirt kid when Calzada goes to the tent.
Well, how did
and
you
then,
recruit?
You know what? That's not that's
Jimbo. How did you
that's
recruit?
On you.
What's
that's
your
on
roster?
You. That's right. That's absolutely.
But
on
my
you.
Dad asked. He said, "Boy, Lancey, he always Lancey. What's the talk about the Texans? I'm like, there is no talk." What's to talk about the Astros? Like, because he's really into the Astros now. But this is the other thing he'll call about. Boy, what are they saying about Jimbo? What's the? But they're going to start to. Aggies are going to start to get a little frisky here soon. I said they are frisky, Dad. I said it's already happened.
So I don't know.
We saw it last year. We heard people start.
This was a 4-loss team. That I don't know that there's a big clamor in.
Aggies were not happy headed into the season after last year. This year, the Alabama win bought them a lot of time, but I think when it was all said and done, you didn't finish well.
They come into this season off of a number 5 ranking.
But I mean, I'm thinking of the first year there. Yeah, he had a good year last year with Kellen and all those guys. So he's coming in this year. Yeah, he's got a little bit more. He bought a little bit more time because of last year, for sure. But this year, you look at it, you lost to both Mississippi, probably the first time since they've been. It is the first time.
Are we not giving – he lost his quarterback. If you are with your backup quarterback.
Your quarterback beat Alabama, so that's not an excuse anymore.
Well,
how do you beat Alabama as an excuse for LSU?
Put Zach Calzada on Alabama. Put Zach Calzada on
He's still probably in the Final
Georgia.
Four.
Put Zach, I don't know.
I'm
I don't
not
know
sure Zach Calzada
are.
Didn't play for Georgia.
Well, guess what? Zach Calzada, you put him on any of those teams, guess what? They're not winning. They're not winning a lot of games.
Ain't nobody asked. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Stetson Bennett's nothing great. You had a great defense. Stetson's a guy who handed off a lot and made a couple passes. It was not, and they had a great defense. Stetson, the legend of Stetson, he had one great drive. Guess what? Zach Calzada had a great drive, too, and he was legendary for that day.
For the day.
And for that week. And
guess what? It didn't hold
up. And he'll still get his drinks for free in College Station, maybe.
I think this year is a lot more telling. You've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country coming in. You've got Haynes King coming back. And you've got Max Johnson just in case. Now I think you're loaded for bear with all of these young guys.
With the offensive line a second year.
I'm really, really I'm hesitant to judge Jimbo off of last year.
But that's how it works, though. You do get judged. When you make that much, especially, and you beat Alabama, but you couldn't beat either Mississippi school – LSU, like, that doesn't make sense to people.
Yeah, the LSU was
the LSU loss is a really bad, and LSU was basically done at that point. Yeah. Like, LSU's best cornerback didn't play anymore. LSU's coach was out already. That was a terrible, terrible loss. I thought the loss to Mississippi State was not a good loss. Ole Miss, I get. And then what's the other one? And Arkansas. I kind of get Arkansas. Arkansas was better than people expected, and you weren't ready. And the offensive line, here's the big one. The offensive line was brand new. They were better as the season went on. So they'll have a lot of continuity at offensive line. They'll lose their best player in Kenyon Green, but 4 starters back next year. A-Chain's back next year, right?
Yep.
And I've heard Aeneas.
Well, yeah, as of now.
And Aeneas Smith, I think, was considering coming out, but I think he's going back. You'll lose Spiller. Weidemeyer's overrated. That guy is not who people think he is. So I think you're going to be – I think you will be fine. I think you will be fine. But fine isn't going to cut it when you're making as much as Jimbo.
You're going to be
you can't
good.
Lose 3 games.
No, you're going to be good. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.
You're going to win a national championship? The whole point of the question was, are you going to be in contention for a national championship?
Yeah. And I think the answer is yes.
First-year starter quarterback again.
Well, yeah. Haynes King has only got 2 more starts in college football than the rookie does, than the freshman coming in.
Oh, it's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs. It absolutely is. And I'm not convinced that Haynes King is the answer anyway, but at least they've got some guys now. when we come back, the Texans are done. Should the Rockets invite Kodak Black to one of their games to hit the first free throw? We'll do that on the other side right here when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite and what is going on with your home if you're renovating. if you've got a big job, you want to change the flooring in your home, you want to change the countertops in the kitchen, the cabinets in the kitchen, you want to redo an entire playroom, you want to redo your bathrooms with the everything, with the sinks and everything else. And listen, when you're talking about Jeff Aronoff, he's seen it all. He does it all. He's installed it for hotels. I mean, all of the vanities for hotels or countertops for hotels. So he has seen and he's got access to just the nicest, and he's seen it all, period. So he will be able to help you design that bathroom, help you design that kitchen, help you design that outdoor patio kitchen and all of it right now, because this is what he does every single day. And if you're a 97.5 listener, you're going to get 20% off because you tell him right away, I want my 20% off here because Granato said so. So all you got to do is give him a call and let him come over and evaluate the scene. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5.